Hi, welcome to Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we have Scott Brown. He's the Senior Vice President of Marketing for iWatt. They're a power management device company that specializes in solid-state lighting drivers and products of that nature, and they've just come out with a new non-dimmable product. Isn't that right, Scott?
That's great, Alex. Thanks for having me here today.
Oh, well, the pleasure's ours. Solid-state lighting is such a major force in the marketplace, and it's very important today that engineers understand all the latest devices and features and things to solve the problem. And unfortunately, or I shouldn't say unfortunately, one way or the other, filling the Edison socket is a major thing, and isn't this device intended for that very purpose?
Absolutely. As a way of background, iWatt has been in the solid-state lighting space for some time now.
Right.
Best known for our dimmable products. But the device we have here today is a very interesting product aimed at the non-dimmable space.
And is that a specifically different aspect of the market? I mean, a lot of people are saying, well, actually, I say a lot. Some are saying that it's a dimmable market is important and you have to have dimmable devices, and some are saying, well, it doesn't matter. In most of the applications, you're not requiring dimming. So you're differentiating to give engineers a choice in their design, or you're differentiating to address market spaces, or all of the above?
I'd say all of the above. A lot of people out there have different requirements in terms of whether they support dimmable or non-dimmable, whether they care about flicker or maybe not so much, whether they need to comply with a high level of power factor. And our goal is to find ways of addressing as many of those needs as possible.
Right. Now, as far as that fragmentation is between the different requirements, how easy is it to address as many of them as possible, or are some of them mutually exclusive?
Well, I think you see in this market, as with every market, over time, you get, I refer to it as nichification, which is a horrible butchering of the English language, but typically when a market first emerges, you'll have some products that are used in a broad set of end applications, and over time, various manufacturers come up with more specialized products that meet more specific needs in that market as that market evolves.
Right. So, in this case specifically, when you think of the old standard light bulb and the Edison socket, a majority of those are non-dimmable. They're just standard on-off light switch applications. There's a lot of sockets that need to be filled. I guess this is actually addressing a large segment of that marketplace.
We certainly hope so. Indeed, it is intended for the residential market for the most part. And what we've attempted to do with this device is come up with a product that, frankly, fits towards the lower end of the market. You know, we have a lot of high-performance products already, but we saw an opportunity to address the needs at the lower end of the market where they don't need to support dimming. Our challenge was to come out with a product that was unique and fulfilled some a space in the market and offer some features in the market that weren't previously addressed.
Right. Well, I mean, like a lot of people point to some of the aspects of solid-state lighting, specifically LEDs, lifetime involving temperature management and involving the failure of the circuits usually before the devices themselves.
Indeed, actually, that's a great lead into one of the key features of this product. So, the operating temperature of the LED driver is a determining factor in the longevity of the LED driver. In particular, electrolytic capacitors, which are present in the vast majority of LED driver solutions, have an operating life rating that is dependent upon the temperature that they experience.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the features of this product is the ability to set a temperature threshold, and if that threshold is exceeded, the driver will automatically reduce the current going through the LEDs, thereby reducing the power being consumed and power being dissipated by those LEDs, with the goal of ensuring that the temperature doesn't rise above that predetermined set point.
Well, and then that's a very, very good advantage to the... Well, a lot of engineers have to deal with it, and the whole issue of thermal management is central to solid-state lighting design.
Indeed, it's important and central in SSL, perhaps more than in many other parts of our industry, and particularly in the retrofit bulb space, in as much as the manufacturer of the bulb doesn't know what the housing that the bulb is going to be installed in will look like.
Oh, that's a very good point.
Yeah, so the thermals that each bulb can experience could be radically different. I mean, some might be in a nice area with plenty of free airflow. Another bulb might be in a very small, tight, enclosed space and would, as you can imagine, get significantly higher. And without any form of thermal management, the operating life of those two bulbs would be radically different.
Exactly. When you could put it in a ceramic socket, for example, or something like that. You never know what the surrounding material is going to be.
So thermal derating is certainly not unheard of in the industry, but it is quite unusual at the price point and at the end of the market that we're going after with this product.
That makes sense. Now, give us some other advantages to the device from the design engineer's perspective.
Well, I mean, needless to say, as we're going after our customers are going after the consumer market, price is important. So we have focused on doing what we can to reduce the cost of not only our part. I mean, our part does indeed come in a low-cost SOT 23 package, but also, more importantly, in the total bill of materials. Whilst our part is, if you like, the brains of the LED driver, it's still a relatively small portion of the cost of the LED driver, the BOM cost.
Right.
Sorry, carry on.
No, I apologize. Does it reduce the need for additional components on the in the circuit? Does it also provide advantages there by BOM reduction in parts count?
Well, that's the goal. Indeed, we've managed to keep the parts count down pretty low. And then with the parts that we have on board, our goal has been to enable as lower cost external components as possible. Case in point, you'll notice that our external driver that's driving the transformer is a BJT, which was chosen. We have a BJT driver because it's cheaper to have a BJT at that power rating than a FET.
Right. Now, you have reference designs that use the device that demonstrate the use of the device replacement?
We certainly do, yep.
Excellent. And that's available on your website, I gather.
It will be shortly. We're actually in the process of making a few enhancements to the website, one of which will enable customers to order boards and samples directly.
Excellent. Because the ability to do that is going to really help the designer get that quick turnaround on his product.
Indeed.
What other abilities do you offer the design engineer with not just the device, but the support structure that surrounds it, as it were? In other words, what other design support do they get? What other logistics support do they get?
Well, it's pretty much what you described. It's all about getting samples and frankly, more importantly, getting eval boards and reference designs into the hands of our customers, and that is our focus. And we, for every one of our parts, but perhaps the LED drivers more than most, typically offer a range of different configurations of our eval boards to accommodate the range of different requirements of our customers.
Excellent. So, having said all of that, the basic information is on the website, I imagine, data sheets and all of that other information that they can get so they could evaluate the device, correct?
Correct.
And why don't you spell it out for our audience, what the URL is?
Well, the company's iWatt, and the URL is www.iwatt.com.
Straightforward and simple. I like it, Scott. Mm-hmm. So, anything you'd like to leave the audience with before we close out this episode?
Well, actually, there is one other technical item I'd like to touch upon before we wrap up. There's a a third benefit that we believe is significant with this product, in addition to attempting to keep the bond costs down, and in addition to having that over temperature derating capability, there's one thing that this part can do which is kind of cool, and that is the user can configure the power factor correction.
Oh, yeah, that is very useful.
It is, yeah. In the lighting space, around the world, it varies, and it varies by applications in different territories. But there are requirements to meet certain power factor numbers. For the most part, in most countries, for commercial applications, you need to be about 0.9.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, that requirement is lower in the commercial space. Now, with this type of low-cost device, we implement power factor correction, frankly, in a similar way to our competitors. We have what's referred to as a single-stage device that does both the power factor correction and the LED driving. But by contrast, in higher-end products, such as our own higher-end products for that matter, it's more common to have a two-stage approach where you have a power factor correction stage followed by an LED driver stage. And I mention that because there's always trade-offs in this world. If you have a two-stage solution, it takes more components and the BOM cost goes up, but the performance is outstanding. If you have a single-stage solution, you can achieve good power factor control, but as you improve your power factor, the trade-off is that you, by the rules of physics, land up with higher ripple on the output. So with this device, we give our customers the opportunity to program the power factor they need, but no more than they need. So if they only need 0.7, they can dial in 0.7. And that'll mean that the output ripple will be less than it would be if they dialed it to 0.9. Now, in some cases, the regulations will require 0.9. And in those cases, the output ripple will be a little higher. And again, it comes down to our customers as to what they do with that. Some may choose to add larger capacitance on the output, which will add to the size and cost of the solution. Some may choose to live with that higher ripple. But what we have here in this, frankly, low-end product is the ability for our customers to dial in the performance that meets their exact needs and their end market needs.
Which is actually quite flexible for a low-end product. I should say low price point.
Yeah, in fact, I'm not sure of anyone that offers this flexibility at any price point.
Well, that's a very good claim to make as well. Because the nice thing about the, obviously, the more flexibility you provide to the design engineer, the easier it can make their task of getting the product finished, because the more wiggle room you give them, the more they'll be able to take elsewhere.
Indeed.
Excellent. Well, Scott, so anything else? I don't want to cut you off.
No, that's it. Thanks.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time, because, like I said, solid-state lighting is a critical application space right now, and providing new product to that space is always useful. And I appreciate you taking the time to come in. I want to drag you back, and we'll chat about some blue sky stuff next time we have you here.
I would love that. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Excellent. And I'd like to thank all of you out there who've taken the time to listen to us. Appreciate you all being in the audience. So this is Alex Pault. Thanks, and have a great day.